prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 5 April 2021. We're glad you're with us, and I do ask you to excuse the fact that after you telephone tonight, our Comrex line that we usually link up to the satellite with is down. So it's a long story, but our internet went down Friday. And it took off the IP address off the Comrex, too. I did not know that till today, so we'll get it fixed as soon as possible. But forgive us that. That's just the way it goes sometimes. We're going to bring up our guest in a few minutes. We'll bring up Mr. Larry Pratt, the ex-head of Gun Owners America. We're going to discuss what's going on, oh, gosh, all over the country. Some states like West Virginia, and I'm honored to say I live here right now, are taking strong stands to protect the people's rights or actually duty to arm themselves. I mean strong stands. Some states are trying to, even like California's trying to make it even harder for them to own a magazine to hold more than 10 rounds. So it's a battle going on all across country, and the feds are pretty much leading the way to disarm the American people. We'll get to that in just a minute. Don't forget, folks, we offer the 25-minute video. I think like 20 doctors on it who warn you about the vaccine. And this is from all over the world, not just here. This is all over the world are telling you do not take the vaccine. And I was just talking to another doctor today, and I found out that a virus is not spread person to person. I did not know that. But anyway, we may discuss it later in another program. But there's 20 doctors, or maybe a couple more, who are saying do not take the vaccines. 25 minutes long, and our producer, Phil Hudock, added another 40 or 30 minutes, 40 or 50 minutes in onto it with other information also. It's over an hour long now. It's $10.50 for DVD delivered to your door. Please, folks, get a copy. Share with your friends and family. Please explain to them about the vaccine that is not a vaccine at all. Please understand how this works. Just give us a call at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and tell Lisa you want to order a copy of the DVD on vaccination. And use credit card, debit card, whatever, or get the address and write to us. But we have some copies made. They're right here in front of me right now. They'll be shipping out this week. So get a copy as soon as you can, please, and share it with your family. It could literally save their lives and maybe even more than that. And I'm not pulling your leg on this. And of course, it's still offering the DVD or CD, but I recommend the DVD on the ignorant church and what we have let fail in America and what's cost this nation, the church, folks. The church. I know it's not something people want to hear. The video is about an hour and a half long. Again, it's for being so important, 10:50 also. Now, I keep saying this. The reason I have to charge for it is the postage on DVD is $2.69, not to mention the padded envelope and everything else. So I got to ask something to pay for it and give Phil back his money for even making the thing. So it's available if you want it. The Ignorant Church is a very important DVD. I think you'll find that, and the, from the mask to the mark, two of the most important DVDs that we ever done. And we're offering it for you to look at and see for yourself, and share with your friends and family. Make copies if you want to. These are not copyrighted. Make all the copies you want, because I want you to have it to share with your friends and family. Now, our guest tonight, like I said, is Mr. Larry Pratt. His son, Eric, has taken over as head of the GOA, but Larry's still very much involved as far as knowing what's going on and still speaking up and doing what he can do to aid our side on this battle for the ability to keep ourselves armed and to defend ourselves and our families. And so I really am very much honored to have this man join me. I've known this guy for 20 years or longer, 25 years, I don't know, a long time. And when he and I first met, we were youngins. But that's been a couple years ago now. But he's an honor to have on the program because I know the man. He's a man of integrity and patience beyond words to deal with politicians all these years. So, Larry, proud of you there.
I sure am, sir, and I'm delighted to be with you again. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you know, like I was telling folks, we go back maybe 25 years. I don't know exactly how long, but a long, long time.
It's been a while.
It had been a while. I think the first time I met you was in Charleston at a engagement down there when you spoke and I spoke, and that's, and both of us looked a little different back then, Larry. I don't know what happened to us.
Well, we had a common cause. There was a, I think it might have been the textbook issue that brought us together that time. That was certainly one of the issues that brought me to West Virginia on occasion.
It really just kind of tells you.
Not much changes.
I know.
They're still after the noggins of our kids. They want to fill them full of mush. And anyway, that's one of the things I know. We battle together.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's getting, obviously, it's gotten much worse since then. The folks, before we get this, tomorrow night, we have Dr. Carrie Madej on. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program, whatever you do. But now, Larry, since you said you retired from the GOA, I know you haven't totally retired from anything. You're still in the battle. I know you still keep in touch with your son, Eric, and everything's happening there. We knew this would happen. I mean, when Biden got in, I knew this would happen. The attacks against the Second Amendment are growing by leaps and bounds. And thank God, though, some states like West Virginia, and even Missouri wants to start a civilian militia. Really, that's true. The bill introduced in the Senate right now to start a civilian militia in the state. But West Virginia is going to put a ballot issue on November, next election, this November, I guess, on total complete annihilation of all federal gun laws in the state, and even more than that. But we are seeing some people now starting to fight back a little bit, and states are starting to take a stand. If the states will stand by the 10th Amendment and states' rights, the Fed will have to back down. They don't have the manpower to override the states, do they?
That, I believe, is a very, very key point. And it is so important because if the states decided to act on that basis, they could pretty much cripple the federal effort to push them and their state around by simply saying, we're not going to help. You're going to do what you're going to do. We don't have the firepower to resist you, but you're not going to get our Mounties, our state police, our local police to cooperate with something that you're going to do that violates, in this case, the Second Amendment. Now, when I first heard of that, it was several years ago, I was still at GOA, and I went up to Carroll County, Maryland, which is in the American part of Maryland, and one of the commissioners there pointed out that, I said, look, what is it going to do? You're just saying you're not going to participate if the feds come in to try to do something that's not constitutional. And he said, well, you know, we can't take them in a head-on confrontation. That's correct. But he said, they're spread thin enough still, as big as they are, that if they have to come into an area and don't get the support of the local cops, and even better, if they also don't get the support of the state police, but even just not getting the support of the Carroll County police entities in that county, that alone, he said, would have probably been quite enough to get them to say, well, we better find some other place to kick around. And that happily is a good thing to keep in mind, that even the federal government, at least as of now, has its limits. And it just doesn't have infinite resources, as much as they might like to get us to think it's a nice mind fake if they can do that. But the fact of the matter is they have to be somewhat selective, and they're more likely to go into a suburban county of New York City than they are a rural county of the state of Maryland.
That's true. That's true. And you know, and all these states passing their own laws, and that's wonderful. But, you know, it's really redundant, because the 10th Amendment says the states are independent of the federal government, and any time that there's a law passes that is repugnant to the U.S. Constitution and the state constitutions also, it's null and void. So passing more laws to oppose it really doesn't have to be done. We're just going to say this law is null and void at its premise. We're not going to obey it. Just forget it. We know we're just not going to obey it. If the states would say that, we could change things very quickly also.
You know, the defenders of federal supremacy like to point to the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution. And sure enough, it's there. But if you read that, I don't have it in front of me, but it says that the federal law is supreme under the authority of the United States Constitution. So, in other words, if they're trying to do something that they have not been given authority for by the Constitution, then it's already null and void, and all a local mountie or a state mountie has to do is say, not playing. Just, I'm not going to be on your team today, guys.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I'm convinced, and I know that our local sheriff here seems like a pretty good guy. He said it'd be no problem, I'm sure he's not by himself, to get all the help he needs from the civilian population if it comes to that. You know, I mean, there'd be no problem at all. He could deputize the whole county, and he wouldn't have any problem raising men, and probably women also, that willing to stand up for what's right. You know,
that's so another aspect, and I think that's just starting to catch hold. I just saw something today, and I think it's in the state of Missouri, where they are defining people as part of the official militia of the state,
yeah.
So that they would be employable. Now, they volunteer to join that, but as soon as they do, now they have the cover of the authority of the state, so that if the feds try to muscle in, they're actually picking a fight with that state government's law enforcement capability, as well as however many local law enforcement agencies that might be involved.
Well, you know, and that's something that hasn't been mentioned, at least not that I know of, in my lifetime, that the states are finally beginning to wake up and see this. You know, West Virginia's a very small state. We only have about 1.5 million people in the whole state. But if you flatten us out, we'd be big as Texas. I mean, we're all hills and hollers. But even though we're a small state, each state has some authority on its own. Well, whether it has 20 million people or 1.5 million people, it's still a sovereign state according to the Constitution, and it governs itself with certain laws given to the federal government, to, you know, like money, mail, whatever, to keep the states united. But no matter what side the state is, it is not under federal law to disobey laws contrary to what the Constitution says.
Yes, sir. That also, I think, raises a related issue. The federal government has the constitutional assignment duty to ensure a Republican form of government.
That's right.
To open the doors to a massive influx of people who come to the country through a particular state illegally, that on its face is not part of Republican government, which by definition is a rule of law type of government.
Very true. Very true. And we see the federal government. This is some good, not just with the Biden. It's been going on many years there. You've seen lots of it. I have too. We've seen the federal government ignore many laws in order to purpose their agenda, to further their agenda, whether it's illegal immigration, voter fraud, whatever. They certainly are not above bending the rules or just ignoring the laws totally to get their way. The same thing goes with the issue of gun confiscation and control. They don't mind breaking the law. It doesn't bother them at all. They'll pass new laws contrary to the laws set up by our founders, and pass new laws and say that they can do that lawfully. We know they can, but the masses in America still haven't figured that out. But thank God, some state legislators are starting to realize we can't back up any further. We can't allow this to happen. Now, what that's going to mean in the future, I really don't know. But some people are just starting to get a little bit ticked off. Thank God.
Amen to that. Another way to put that is that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And I think we've taken certainly more than one first step. And I think it's a growing realization that you're pointing to that many states now, I think, are prepared to, if not actually take action on this, seriously consider telling the feds, well, if you come into our state to do X, Y, and Z, we're not going to start a war over it, but we're sure not going to be alongside of you. We're not going to have your back. You're on your own. Have a nice day.
Well, you know, if states would just say that and say, you know, we're also not going to harass people or arrest people who defend their rights and their families. We're not going to do that. You're on your own. Like you said, you're on your own. We're not going to help you arrest a man who believes his duty to keep and bear arms is being infringed upon. We're not going to do that. If he defends himself against you, then that's your problem. It's not ours.
That is, I think, what they need to hear. And I think it's beginning to be said, and that's very encouraging. It's one of the things that I've found most hopeful about recent events. So we can try to encourage that. And I would certainly urge anybody listening that when they spot a local state politician where they are and they see this kind of willingness to stand up and defend the Constitution in such a tangible way, look them up online and send a small donation or something like that. Tell them, send them an attaboy and ask them to, you know, keep going, and you got their back. I think that is something that definitely needs encouragement, and I'm encouraged that there is some, like, well, you pointed to it, the state of Missouri is working on legislation that would make it so that if you and I lived there, we could volunteer to join the Missouri militia, whatever it might be called, actually, and whatever gun laws were enacted by the feds would just be not enforceable by the state of Missouri. And, in fact, it could go even farther than that, because when you're talking about the feds trying to disarm a legitimate entity of one of the states exercising legitimate constitutional functions, oops, now we're crossing a very significant line.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure that even Sleepy Joe and his administration want to do something like that. I don't think they want to go there.
Well, you know, I think they call the Missouri militia the Missouri Minuteman. I believe it's what they call them, the Missouri Minuteman.
Okay, sounds right.
I think that's what it is. But with some states starting to kick back a little bit, I know here in West Virginia, you know, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, what it's been, maybe longer than that, 8 years, we become a state that has constitutional carry. We can carry in our pocket. We can carry on a hip. There's no law to stop us either way. And because of that, I think the crime rates actually went down. I know that the governor that they had to override whenever this was passed, they had overrided his veto, was saying crime will go up. Well, that wasn't true. Crime did not go up at all.
It sure hasn't. And that's been the case in every state where people are allowed by right to carry without a permit. There is not a spike in crimes committed with guns, and in fact, it tends to go down because the bad guys come to realize very quickly that that little old lady that they were getting ready to knock off, well, she turns around with her little 38 or something, and man, that hurts, and they decide to do something else.
Well, my wife and I went out to dinner at a local restaurant here in Summersville, about 20 minutes from where I live. It's been a couple months ago, my wife, my son, and I. And I went inside, I just looked over at a stool, and a guy sitting there carrying a semi on his hip, and I went over and shaked his hand, thanked him. I was sitting at a table, another guy walked by the semi on his hip, and I stopped him and thanked him for doing that. I saw three other people that night packing openly. I don't know how many's carrying, you know, concealed, but I saw at least three altogether openly carrying. And I got to think, if somebody breaks in here and starts shooting, they're going to be up a creek. I mean, they can't get all of us at one time. It's impossible. But
no,
I mean,
and actually, that may be a reason they wouldn't start there. They take a look at that restaurant and decide, oof, I think we better look further.
Exactly. And, you know, I have yet to run into it to a policeman here in our area, city or county or state, that does not encourage citizens carrying weapons. Now, I have not run into one yet. I worked in a gym here at the gym a couple months ago, and a young trooper in there, and I got talking to him, you know, about some things, and I told me who it was, and I do carry. I have one in the car now. He said, it's people like you to make our job easier. And I thought, he's really right on. You know, if he's caught in a shootout, he knows which side we're going to be on, you know, trying to help him out of the jam. But so we're blessed here in our little area. As backward as we are as a state, we're blessed that we have even the police as a whole do not have a problem with anybody carrying. As a matter of fact, the one that's going up for vote on the probably on this coming November, if it gets in onto the ballot, would not allow any entity, whether it be city or county, anybody else, to pass gun laws that are contrary to the state's, you know, constitutional carry. So there's a lot of things coming down that's stopping a lot of nonsense going on. So of course, some people are crying about it, but overall, the people in the state are all for it.
I think they well should be because, and evidently they are aware, either intuitively or maybe they've done some reading that tells them that, bad guys don't like to go and start a fight with somebody that might kill them.
That's been a deterrent for
them. The one thing they respect is their own ugly skin.
Absolutely. The only thing they respect is the power to fight back. They respect that. But we're seeing this, again, more and more nationwide. You know, Florida has some good protection for the people in the state who defend themselves. Other states are stepping up to the plate and saying enough is enough. California is still working hard to disarm the people. You know, they have now gone before the Ninth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit Court. They want to put a ban on anything more than 10 rounds in a magazine. And there's people, of course, people opposing that, so it's going to go to the Ninth Circuit Court. The last time I was up there, the Ninth Circuit Court would not let the ban stand. What's going to happen now, I don't know. But we will see. So we are winning in a lot of areas, and the battle goes on in other places. And, of course, under Biden's totally controlled Congress, it's a very narrow margin of what can happen either way. You know that.
That's right. Well, I certainly hope the Congress does not go actually to enact gun control legislation. But if they do, that will, I think, seal the fate of the Democrat majorities in the United States Congress right now. It's a slim lead that they have in the House, and it's a tie only broken by the vice president now in the Senate. And that could go against them, may well anyway. But if they start messing with the Second Amendment, we've seen this before. This movie has the same ending every time it's played. And it means that gun grabbers are going to get grabbed by the voters and tossed to the curb.
Well, you know, we know that, of course, with the Democratic-controlled House already passed the H.R. 1, the Equality Act, would mandate that churches allow homosexuals to join the churches and work in the churches, whatever, and much more than that. As a matter of fact, it would mandate if you were having a church Bible study in your own home, they could come in without invitation. That should be mandated also. We're seeing that the Democrats are really coming out hard, and I'm not just saying Democrats. Some Republicans also kind of give way on that also.
It just struck me that if they want to play that game and they end up making that the rule, then I guess folks like us that want to carry guns could carry them regardless of the rules also. And we could come in with a gun, no matter what their rules say.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
point. Come into my church with a homosexual, even though our church rules are very clear, as approved by the leadership, elected by the members of the church, and the voting has always been 100%. We're going to have a biblical form of government, and that certainly means, among other things, that we're not going to have homosexuals as part of the leadership of the church. They just couldn't be elected. It's unthinkable. And so by the same token, if they want to play by those rules, then you and I ought to be able to walk into any place, regardless of no gun signs that have been posted, and say, well, just doesn't apply to me.
Well, and honestly, it doesn't. I mean, that's a fact. The church is a public arena, and I do carry a gun in church. Matter of fact, you don't want to come to our little fellowship and attack anybody, believe me. But nonetheless, yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. That's a right, a duty given to me. It's not something that I prefer. It's something I do because it's a duty, Larry. I promise you, I see it more than a right. I see it as a God-given duty to protect my family, my friends, even the church family. You know me a long time. I'm really a wuss. I don't like confrontation. I don't look for confrontation. And all I'm asking people is just leave me alone. Don't attack me. Don't attack my wife. Don't hurt somebody around me. We'll have no problems. I'll buy you a hamburger and we'll sit down and talk, but just don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, I remember when I wrote a piece for Gun Owners of America that's still available at their site on the web, that I came to that same conclusion, that it's actually insufficient to describe firearms ownership and carrying and use of guns and self-defense as a right. I agree. I think it is a duty, because the righteous are not to be rolled over by the wicked. We're not to give way to the wicked, to use more literal language. And so for us to simply comply and say, well, okay, if I'm in this place, you can come in and shoot me, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so at all.
Well, to make it simple enough that even I can understand it, if for some reason I was with your wife doing something, for some reason a man attacked her, and I didn't do my best to defend her, what kind of friend would you call me?
Well, and I think that's the obligation that we have. If we don't
absolutely
want to protect our own life, well, how about those around us in our family, those around us with whom we work? Those are people that I think necessarily we have some obligation to.
We do. And what did Christ say? No greater love than this, the man laid down his life for his brother. You know, that means,
that's right.
That means protecting the life. It really does. And, of course, I sent you the video. Folks, if you go to our website, well, I'm not sure if it's up here or not, but there's a pastor in Canada. I don't even know where it was. It didn't say.
I saw that.
Well, hang on to the break. I'll share some break, folks. Don't go away.
You
want to call and ask any questions? We got one phone line open tonight. That's all. You can call 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Strobo Foods, the only strobo food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best strobo foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war.
All right, folks, we're back again talking to Larry Pratt, formerly the head of the GOA. We're going to give you the information in a minute, how you can call and join the GOA. Folks, I support one pro-gun group, and that's GOA. I've known these people. I've watched them in action for years. I know what they'll do, how to stand beside you, and I support them because of that. Now, I support them because I know Larry Pratt, and I'm sure his son is a man like Larry Pratt. He's no nonsense, no compromise. He's morally right on. He knows what the Bible says about morals and righteousness. He understands that, and he stands for the duty to keep and bear arms because, you know, it's a biblical fact that that's what we're commanded to do. That is Bible. And we're getting ready to share before the break about a pastor in Canada. It's on video, folks. I'll get a post out on the website as soon as possible. Pastor in Canada met some people in his foyer. Three or four armed policemen and two or three civilians were all wearing masks. Come in. I guess they were going to get on him for having, they said Passover, probably Easter Sunday, but Passover, whatever. They come in, I guess, to get on them because they weren't wearing masks. And the pastor ordered them, I mean angrily ordered them out. They hesitated for a while. He kept saying, out now. I don't want to listen to what you're saying. I don't want to hear from you. I don't come back without a warrant. Get out of this church. Get out, get out, get out. He followed out on the street and called them Nazis and all matter of things and said, you're the scum of the earth, more or less, is what the pastor said. He was upset and rightfully so. This man in Canada, folks, not USA, but Canada doesn't have the same you say the word constitution as far as makeup of a country goes. Canada doesn't have the same makeup that America had and what we were taught taught by our founders. They don't have the same kind of makeup we do. But this Christian pastor said, no, out of this church. And they left.
Yeah.
They weren't happy about it.
You know,
they walked out.
They weren't happy about it. I saw that. It's online, and it's worth looking up because this man clearly had the courage of his convictions, and he was outraged by the unrighteousness of what these cops were sent in to carry out. And they were, I think they were stunned. They didn't know what to say to this guy who had this kind of conviction. They just assumed that he was going to say, oh, okay, whatever you say, you're the boss. No, this was a man that they came in on. And he just absolutely took them by surprise. And he chased them out with his mouth. It was amazing.
He did. And he told the lady, kept trying to speak, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Out. And he was screaming it. He wasn't just saying, out, now, out. Almost like casting devils out of the place. Well, he pretty much was.
Exactly.
Anyway, they walked out slowly, but they walked out. They walked out, and you could tell, whipped. Their attitude was, yeah, we know what to do. They know what to do. They were stunned.
Well, and he followed them out the door and onto the public thoroughfare. He wanted to make sure they were out.
Absolutely.
It was stunning. I'd be delighted to see something like that here in the United States. And to see it in Canada was all the more encouraging that maybe we've come to a place where people have decided, we're going to tell them, no, you've gone too far, no more, you're not doing that, shut up, get out, and it's nothing to talk about.
Well, you know, even to the point of the COVID, COVID hyped up hoax, a gym in New Jersey is giving free memberships to all those who do not get vaccinated and don't wear a mask. He's giving them free memberships. I mean, he's flying right in the face of the so-called overlords. You know, to give an idea how far we come in this country, a governor cannot pass a law. They can say it's a mandate, but it has no validity. It is not a law. It has no validity in anybody's life, period. A business or individual, the governor cannot tell you not to wear a mask or get a shot or walk 6 feet apart. He cannot do that. That is totally immoral and totally unlawful. But this gets so bad now, Larry, that the CDC, which is a private corporation, to say, it's not government. CDC is not the government. It's a private corporation. Is now telling landlords that they can't kick tenants out who can't pay the rent. This is coming from a public, a private corporation telling the people in this country you can't evict people out of your properties even though you're losing them because you can't pay your own bills. This is coming from a private company. Governors are saying this is a mandate, you got to obey it, and the cops are in it, they're enforcing it. Now, CDC is telling people that you can't charge this man rent because he can't pay it. Even though you may lose your house, you can't charge this guy rent. Now, this is how far it's come in America. And maybe people, I pray, they're starting to realize this, that the New Jersey GM says, we're not going to obey your laws, and we'll give free membership to those who don't. Now,
you
that's
know,
what we need
to
see.
Me. Well, Pastor, it just occurred to me.
Still there? All right, we'll get Larry back on. Okay. And folks, you want to call, you have time. 844-769-2944. We only have one line open because I'm on one, Larry's another. That's just the way it is tonight. We're doing our best to get our regular comics line set back up. And tonight's conversation, folks, this conversation is just like Larry and I were sitting on the front porch drinking a glass of tea and talking tonight. And that's why I want you to know that to feel with us also. You join the conversation. You're there with us on the front porch. You speak what's on your mind. You share what your convictions are. We're there with you. We want you to know that we are not people that are unreachable, and please understand that. I am no better than anybody else. I'm certainly not the most intelligent guy in the world, but join the conversation if you like it. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Now, you were getting ready to say something. We lost you. What were you getting ready to say?
Yeah, well, sorry about that. It so flummoxed me. I'm trying desperately to remember what I wanted to say.
Okay. I understand. We're not getting any younger. Our minds take a vacation sometimes without us. I understand that. I do.
Well, I was given an unrequested vacation. So I think we've come to a point where people have more and more. We've turned, not all at once, but I think we've been turning the other direction. And people are increasingly of the opinion that
where do you get off? You can't make those kinds of statements as a government official. You don't have the authority. Oh, they don't want us talking about who has the authority to do something, because if enough people say the emperor doesn't have any clothes, then the emperor is going to look kind of naked.
Well, you know, it's a fact that we all of us, over a period of many generations, have allowed people that we consider authorities to enter into our lives and intrude into our private lives more and more every day, to control us more with all kinds of taxes and licensing and control of any way you think of. And now, of course, we're into the digital age where everything is that you do, you know, your digital pictures up on the Interpol, and everything you do, there's nothing private any longer. We've allowed that to come in, and I don't know if we can turn around or not, but I am seeing some kickback finally, and I thank God for that. And I have called the state legislatures here, the delegates, and shared my opinion with them. I called Manchin's office, and Manchin knew me personally. We met on a couple occasions to talk about some things. But anyway, told him I appreciate his stand on some issues that I'm sure Biden didn't appreciate him doing, being a Democrat himself. So we're, you know, and I have to say this about Manchin. He's a politician, but I don't envy his position right now, Larry. Because if he goes mm-hmm. against the state, he's in trouble. If he goes against Biden, he's in trouble.
That's right. Well, he as an elected official, he's going to be in more trouble if he goes against the people of the state. So
I totally agree.
That will be what makes the decision for him. It depends on how much he wants to remain walking around with the first name of senator. You know.
Well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is an issue that could change his first name. So, anyway.
Well, you know, as long as I can remember, as a young boy, West Virginia was a Democratic state. Very seldom you have any Republicans elected office to speak of. But now it's a solidly Republican state. And we've had a Republican-controlled Congress in both houses now for at least two or three elections now. So things are swinging back in the right direction. But for a long, long time, they were solidly Democrat. And I think the people in this state, although were kind of a backward people, are not totally insane when it comes to seeing what's going on.
No, and really, I think as much as anything, the state voted Democrat because there was a heavy union presence. The mines and the logging and all of that was heavily unionized. There were other states in the country somewhat the same. Well, once the Democrat Party went against their own base and they began telling miners that they were polluting the earth and they didn't have any right to work, they should just go home and go on welfare and things of that sort, that doesn't sell real well. And I think that was one of the reasons that West Virginia has become such a Republican state, because they're repudiating the party that repudiated them.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And folks, got a phone line open. I know you out there listening to us. You maybe want to join the conversation. Again, Larry and I just sitting down talking together. You join the conversation. You're welcome to join us at 844-769-2944. And these kind of discussions, I don't think you'll hear too often, folks, led on a Christian program. I don't think you will. I don't think you hear gun issues mentioned in most churches, although a priest on my church, biblically and historically proven the duty for a man and a woman to defend themselves. I've proven it from our founders. When they went in the church, they stacked the rifles in the center of the aisles, and the men sat on the edge of the aisle so they get to the guns quicker. Somebody happened to raid the church. The preacher went out first. He didn't go out first to the back door, to the front door to shake their hands. He went out first to make sure the coast was clear. That's all history. That's where that custom come from, the preacher walking out and shaking people's hands. And at times when we were at war, it could be a war against the British or maybe the Indians at the time, the pastor went out first to make sure that no one was up there to attack him. That's what the shepherd did. Now, those customs have been lost because they haven't been passed down from generation to generation. And they have been taught in churches I've pastored. Well, at least the last one, this one pastoring now, because most of them, Larry, a pastor before, did not want to hear the history. They didn't want to hear the Bible when it comes to teaching on the duty to protect innocent lives or to defend themselves and to carry arms. Christ told disciples, clearly Christ said to his disciples, I'm leaving you.
if you don't have a sword, you sell your coat and you buy one. Now, folks, I'm a disciple of Christ, and I will obey my master's command. I do carry a sword. And a sword today, in the day's time, is a sidearm. It's called a handgun, a pistol. And that's what it boils down to. Christ commanded his disciples to buy a sword. And that was not so they could clean their toenails. That was to defend themselves with. That's just that easy. Go ahead, Larry.
And that was
you
preached. That was preached from colonial pulpits up and down the colonies of America. It wasn't just, I've got a painting, a reproduction that I had in my office in Gun Owners, which depicts Pastor Peter Muhlenberg, a Lutheran pastor out in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. So he's almost Virginia, West Virginia right there. So he was almost heaven. And he's given this sermon from Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. And he gets to the conclusion of his sermon saying, and there's a time for peace. And now, and he rips off his Catholic clerical gown, it's a time for war. And underneath that gown was a captain's uniform in the colonial army. He went down the middle of the church and outside and enlisted most of the men of the church. They rode off, and this was happening. When I first got the painting, I thought, well, maybe, this is just one really neat guy. No, this was happening in colonial church after colonial church, to the point that King George III was known to have said that the regiment that he feared the most in America was the Black Robed Regiment. Because these guys would not only preach liberty and the need to take up arms, they would do what Pastor Muhlenberg did. He was hardly a one-off. They would go and recruit men from their church. They would ride off, often being elected captain of their particular unit. In Muhlenberg's case, they went off to meet up with George Washington. They did not come home for 8 years.
Now, folks, think about that. Please. And by the way, I just found out from our producer, Todd, that the other line is not working. People are calling, but they can't hear him when he answers the phone. So I'm sorry about that. Line 3 is not working. This is not our night for telephone lines. So anyway, I'm sorry about that. People are trying to call in, and Todd cannot hear you when he answers the phone. So we're sorry about that. What can I say? It happens. It is happening. But, you know, another thing that I just wrote an article. It'll be a chapter of my next book. I'm working on volume 3 of the last three of the two books. The church in America, the church today in America, for what it is supposed to be here for, had become ignorant of so much truth. Ignorant of so much truth. But most people don't understand that a pastor, Jonas Clark, led the battle in Lexington Green, and most of the men there were church members, and some of them died that day. And when they died, they didn't have life insurance and all the other things take care of the family. They just went out on faith and stood. If they died, they died. But when those men went off for 8 years, their families had no way. There was no unemployment or other benefits to have. The neighbors helped each other, apparently, or the family may have starved to death. But they didn't have any assurance that anybody would do anything to help the families. They did what was right. You know, Larry, I say this pretty humbly before God, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm not God himself. I just know I can see a lot of things come together. But if it's got to be a confrontation, I'd rather happen in my lifetime than my grandson's lifetime. I'd like to see it cleared up before he's old enough to have to face it. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, at least we've had the chance to think it through and to research these issues and to become informed. And there's a very concerted effort to keep the kids and the kids of the following generations from ever hearing about the kinds of topics that we're discussing this evening. So that's, I think, underscores the importance of the kind of show you have, the program, not just tonight, but basically getting all the kinds of information out that is not politically correct. And I guess to use the new terminology, it's not very woke, but it's also very important. And if we're going to remain a free people, then these are the kinds of things that more and more people need to know about.
You're very right. And the churches, the pastors, brother, are not teaching the churches the fundamental duties of serving God. And one of them, in Numbers chapter 1, the war book in the Bible, talks about the men, the young men, 20 years and up, being in the militias of the tribes they were involved in. It wasn't a right. God said, you will take weapons in each home, and these people's ages 18, whatever it was, I forget that, older, would be armed and to defend their families, their tribes, and their nation. This was not a right given by God. It's a duty given by God. You know, of course, God could have said, well, don't worry about it. I'll fight your battles. Y'all go fishing. He could have done that. He's God. But he wanted people to appreciate what they had. And exactly, be willing to defend it and to defend their families. And I don't understand what's happened to the church in America. It breaks my heart. I don't attend many anymore because I'm not welcome to many churches. But it breaks my heart to see that the people that call themselves pastors do not get into the scriptures anything beyond salvation if they even get into that. They pretty much stay clear of this. And I'm convinced also that it's because they're 501c3.
I think probably a big part of it. And they have pressure from perhaps many in their own congregation who say, look, if you're going to talk about things like that, I'm going to have to go somewhere else because that's just offending people. And I don't want to be in a place where people are offended.
Well, you know, they wouldn't enjoy Paul at all, would you, or Christ. You know, I mean,
I don't think so.
I mean, did they crucify Christ because he was not offensive?
And they sure stopped Paul from speaking when they cut his head off.
They did. And when Christ overturned the money changers' tables and took a whip to them, do you think that was offensive to somebody? And I wonder, do you really think he cared?
Well, it probably signed his death warrant.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was really touching the things that were important, all those piles of coins on their tables.
But we know Christ was a revolutionist, not in the sense of taking up arms and defending. He started preaching another kingdom besides Caesar. He preached a greater power than the governments of man. He's undermined the throne of Caesar. That's why Christians were hated so badly in the times of Christ. And even after he left, they were hated. They were persecuted. Rome was a multicultural society. They had dozens, if not hundreds, of religions, and they had no problem with the other religions. Once a year, the other religions would pay homage to Caesar, so to speak, and say, yep, we recognize you as a king and basically God. But the Christians wouldn't do that because they knew that was idolatry. So they were persecuted and hated because of that. And people understand this right now. A 501c3 church pays homage to the state every year by giving their information on taxes and properties and everything else. And that's saying, yep, you're God. And that's why they're not bothered so much. It's independent fellowships that get in trouble. And we're seeing this starting to heat up now. Some pastors, even though they are 501c3, are starting to get mad enough now, they don't care. Take away from us. We don't care. We're not going to obey your rules anymore. But the church in America as a whole has bowed to Caesar for many years.
It probably is a very encouraging sign that, just to go back to what you were bringing up when we got started our conversation this evening, that pastor in Canada that absolutely was going to have nothing of the cops coming in to do a COVID raid on his place, and he just chased them out with his mouth. Get out! You don't have a warrant, don't come back until you get one.
He was not alarmed except by the power of God, and that's all it took. They had at least four cops near. They were armed. They were even wearing bulletproof vests. But the power and authority of the pastor drove them out. Literally drove them out of the church. And he walked
the power
away like
of a righteous man with righteous anger was something they probably were not expecting. I don't think we would expect it in Canada, and I'm frankly not sure how much we would expect it in many parts of the United States. But that guy, I tell you what, I'd like to hear one of his sermons. He actually preached one to the cops.
He did.
Get out.
You've always heard the old saying that might makes right, but I say that right makes might.
Yeah.
I mean,
it certainly did in that case.
It did. You know, and even if a righteous man is killed in doing what's right, well, you say he lost. No, he didn't lose. By no means did he lose. for the glory of God, he took a stand. If he loses his physical life, God has his soul in his hand. He can't touch that. So a righteous man cannot lose a battle. He may lose That's his right. life, but he will not lose a war.
He'll lose for sure if he just rolls over and says, okay, whatever you say. But that wasn't what that guy was doing in Canada, and I thought he was very inspirational. And
Amen.
It was really easy to understand what he was saying. I bet you wouldn't really have to know very much English to know that he was telling those cops, get out.
Well, he was hit one time. Do y'all understand English? Do you speak English? Anyway, and by the way, before we forget about this, tell the folks how they can join the GOA. And folks, I would urge you, $20, $30, $40 a year, whatever you can afford, the GOA is standing solid. And I know from their record, I've watched them for many, many years. I've known Larry Pratt. I don't consider Larry Pratt just a friend, even a brother. And I mean that. We don't get to see each other in the flesh very often. But I know where Larry Pratt is and where he stands. I don't have to look behind me and make sure he's got my back, because he does. How can they contact the GOA?
Well, I'm sure it's the same today as it was when I was there. It's just go to gunowners.org, and the webpage is set up so that you can sign up for email, which are free. You can also make a contribution. So it's real simple to get there, gunowners.org. And I think everybody anymore can probably just once they finish their next phone conversation, use the phone to go follow up that at gunowners.org.
And folks, if you don't have a computer, you can call them toll-free and get this phone number. If you haven't heard before, it's the best phone number created. What's that phone number?
If I recall correctly, it's 888-88-6-GUNS.
1-888-886-GUNS. I love it. 1-888-886-GUNS. Please, call them if you can't get online. Join the GOA. $20 a year, folks, man, that's like a lot to you. But if you get a half million or a million members doing that, that is a lot. 1-888-886-GUNS.
The good news is that the membership has grown to probably somewhere in that million neighborhood. Again, I'm not there, so I'm not really sure, but there's been quite a growth. And it started, ironically, when Trump, who I think was one of the best presidents we've had in the 21st century, went wobbly on the gun issue. And that brought people into Gun Owners of America like there was no tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's just right now we're in a fight for our grandchildren's futures. And we haven't done too well, folks, for a lot of generations. We have not done too well. We haven't done too well at all. Not when we allow transgenders to read to our children in the library and they get by with it. Not when we see the laws of God being perverted in every front. We haven't done too well. Folks, call 888-886-GUNS. And Larry Pratt, God bless you, my friend. We'll be in touch in the future, okay?
It's a delight to be with you this evening. Thanks so much.
All right, brother. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night. Maybe back on the line where you're supposed to be and get phone lines running again. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.